B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. And joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline right now, Beyond Fast, one of our favorite people. It's not bad. We talk about exuding a sport. Well, this man exudes basketball, our favorite, the great Tim Legler from ESPN on the Comcast Business Hotline. Legs!
What up, Ant? This is brutal, brother.
I was going to knock on your door the other day.
This is absolutely brutal, man.
It is brutal. I wouldn't even do it.
Yeah, if you want to come over and just, like, stay 8 feet away, we have to do some social distancing. We can talk about hoops, at least.
I know. Listen, I got a six-pack. I'm going to bring it over this weekend.
That's fine,
I'll take
brother.
I'll walk over and
just roll one over to me through the lawn.
That's perfect. I know. It's a strange existence right now. It really is. So one thing to watch is Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it's the Jordan docuseries. I was dying to talk to you about Mike.
Yeah.
And this whole thing. So first, like, when you think about Jordan, what memories come back to you?
Man, oh, man. Well, first of all, there's so many. So, you know, you think my entire career, I was a rookie in 1990. I finished in 2000. So my career was the decade of the 90s.
Yes.
Well, this guy won six titles and then took a couple years off, or he probably would have won eight straight. So think about that. I played a decade in the NBA, and if this guy didn't decide to go try to hit curveballs for a couple years, probably 8 out of the 10 years I was in the league, the same guy would have won the title. Think about it. So, and look, you know, I was in Golden State, Dallas. So I spent some time out west, but then I was in Washington for 4 years. Yeah. So I got more than my fair share of the Chicago Bulls. We played them, actually, the previous year's playoffs before this documentary that's going to take place, which is focusing on his last title with the Bulls, 97-98 season. We played them in the 97 playoffs. So the team the year before we had played, I remembered these teams vividly. I think the thing that stands out to me more than anything else about Jordan and having an opportunity to play against him and guard him and compete with him more than anything else, Ant, is he's the only guy I ever played against. And I guarded other Hall of Fame two guards.
Yeah.
I mean, great, great players throughout my career. Clyde Drexler, Reggie Miller, Mitch Richmond. I'm talking about, you know, cream of the crop two guards. He was the only one that you could never, ever relax or assume that when he caught the ball, he was going to just, you know, passively give it up and then just go hang out. Like Reggie Miller, you know, he was going to throw the ball into Rick Smits and spot up. That was going to happen for a couple minutes straight where you could catch a breath. Same thing with Drexler. That ball was going to go into Olajuwon, and then he was going to spot up, and you could at least take a breath where you knew he wasn't going to be the focal point. That was not the case with Michael Jordan. Every single time he caught the ball, he wanted to go. And if you relaxed off the ball, he was so quick to the rim or on a slash or on a cut that he was going to find a way to go score on you anyway. So I guess the way I would describe him, he's the most insatiable scorer that I've ever played against.
Wow.
And that's what always stood out to me about him. There was a different level of heightened awareness when you were playing against him because you knew that everything he was doing was intent on trying to get to a spot on the floor to catch it and go on you. And it just that relentless pressure he put on you was unlike anything I ever faced against any other player.
How was it guarding him? Was he talking to you at that point? Was he would take us?
You know, it's funny you say that. No, he was not. He was not. Like, he was the kind of guy, and you know, I was smart enough to learn early in my career. Like, you don't want to, you know, poke the bear.
Right.
So in the NBA, every player is capable of lighting you up.
Right.
I mean, you're that good to even be in the league and have a uniform on. So, you know, I wasn't a big talker. Now, if you talk to me, then yeah, you're going to get me going. I mean, everybody knows that about me. But for the most part, I just wanted to play. I just want to show up, compete. You know, and if you know, if I was going to drop numbers on you, whether it was college or CBA or Europe or the NBA, I was just going to do it in a very professional, workmanlike manner. But if you say something to me, well, now you've unleashed something. I'm going to start talking to you. But Michael, I never talked to him. He never really talked to me in that way. I actually have, I don't have a lot of NBA memorabilia in my house, Ant, but one of the things I have, and we get off the air, I'm going to text you the picture of it. I have a phenomenal picture of myself and Michael Jordan, and it's taken from behind us. We're standing at half court. So it's Legler 23, Jordan 23. We're shoulder to shoulder, and our faces are turned toward each other, and we're talking. And he's got like a grin on his face, and I got a grin on my face. And I remember vividly that game. I remember what that was the first game after I had just won the three-point shootout in 1996 at the All-Star game. We played Chicago the first game on the road right after All-Star weekend. This picture was taken. I saw it years ago. And someone said, man, oh, what's he doing? He talking trash to you right there? I said, no, actually, man, I remember that vividly. He was congratulating me on the three-point title, and he actually also asked me about my daughter, because my first child was born 5 days before that competition.
Wow.
And he actually was asking me about her. Like, oh, I bet you can't wait to get home and see your girl. And then congratulating me on, you know, on the weekend that I had down in San Antonio. And it's funny because people think he's talking trash because I kind of got a smirk on my face. Right. He's got a smirk on his face. But that's what that conversation was about. So I think it's pretty cool. I don't have a lot of memorabilia, but that one's pretty precious.
That's cool. Are you kidding me? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. You know, it's funny. For those people that are young enough and they haven't seen him, and I haven't seen his, how would you describe his greatness? And those people that go, wow, everybody talks about Jordan, they just worship God. He can't be that much better than everybody else. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I would say that they're wrong. Very simply, he was. And it was a lot of things that went into that. I think, obviously, and a lot of this documentary is going to be focused on his competitiveness. And you know, look, you don't get to the league unless you're hyper competitive. I'm talking about you are in the, you know, 1/1,000,000% of competitive people to get there. Okay. Then you take guys that actually do something in the league, and then you take the all-star, and then you take the guy that's like an all-league type player, and then you go to Michael Jordan. So with each level, you exponentially increase the competitiveness. So when you say, yeah, this is the most competitive guy you ever saw, yeah, all of that's true. You have to be to accomplish what he did. So the competitiveness, obviously, and there was never a situation where you were going to catch him flat. He wasn't going to come out and just not have it tonight. Didn't do that. Go look at the games played in Michael Jordan's career. The guy didn't miss games. He didn't miss practices. He showed up every night with that killer mentality. And look, I can tell you right now, I played against a lot of guys in my career, and I cover them now, that you watch them some nights and you go, they don't have it tonight. They don't have the legs. They don't have the stamina. They're not into it. They don't have any energy. They don't have the passion tonight. We can say that about everybody, just literally any player. Name them, and we've all watched them.
Embiid, the whole thing.
Yeah, we've watched them in that mode. You can go right down the list, man. Yeah. Right? You know, you might have your exceptions, but look, even a guy like LeBron James, I just watched him nights and I didn't think he had it. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably, you know, the closest we have right now to a guy. Because, number one, he doesn't want to take any nights off. And you pretty much get the same level of intensity and effort out of him every night. But think about doing that for an entire career, doing that for 15, 18 years, okay? That's the level we're at. And then the skill set, man. He was like he and Kobe Bryant, the two greatest contested mid-range jump shooters in history. And that's the shot. That's the escapable shot, right? That's the shot that you can't really stop, prepare for, double team. That ability to get to a spot on the floor from 12 to 18 feet, plant, elevate with a hand in your face, and knock down shots. That's the shot, and Kawhi Leonard is exceptional, and that's why those guys win titles, because that's the one area of the floor you really can't defend. And that's where Michael Jordan excelled. And then, you know, the athletic ability, obviously, the quickness, you know, the way he could jump, his strength, you know, his defensive competitiveness, you know, I could go on and on. But for me, I just don't know if, you know, look, I'm 53 years old. I can live to 100. I'm not sure I'm ever going to see a guy that I go, yeah, you know what? I think Michael now, this guy's looking Michael in the eye. I just think he's on a different level from everybody.
How would you, because we've been having this debate, this conversation, and it started for the first couple hours of the show, comparing LeBron and MJ, and how would you compare those two?
Well, first of all, I will say this. They're different in that I've always viewed LeBron James. This is going to sound crazy, okay? But hear me out. The guy's going to end up as the all-time leading scorer in the history of the league. He's probably going to surpass 40,000 points if he wants to play long enough, which I think he does, because I genuinely believe he does want to stick around long enough to have an opportunity to play with his son. So you're talking about another 5 years probably. He's going to end up with over 40,000 points. So he's going to be the all-time leading scorer in the history of the league, and I don't think he ever viewed himself as a scorer first.
Right.
So in some ways, it's not fair to compare them in that way. He was, to me, always had the mentality more of a playmaker. And the scoring came out of his understanding that, you know, I'm so good at it and I'm so unstoppable that I need to do this for my teams to have a chance to win. But I truly believe he's the kind of guy that is much happier with a 24-point, 14-assist night than he is with a 38.8 assist night. I've always believed that about him. So in some ways, it's not a fair comparison. But for me, what's going to always separate Jordan is there was never a time you ever saw Michael Jordan play when you ever questioned, like, his readiness to come through in an important moment. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to make every important shot. And if you actually look at it statistically, even guy like Jordan, the percentages in those situations that we think of, like, you know, game on the line, do or die, last minute, you know, 1-point game, that kind of stuff. You did all the math on that. They miss far more than they make.
Right.
All of those guys. But you never questioned how locked in he was in the moment and that he was prepared to take that shot, to not feel the pressure, to do all of those things. And I think there have been times I have felt like LeBron has succumbed to that. Now, that was earlier in his career. He's been better about it over the last, you know, 6-8 years. Earlier in his career, though, that was very prevalent, and it was never prevalent with Michael Jordan. And I also just think the fact that he, you know, went to six finals, he has six finals MVPs, he was 6-0 in the finals, that's always going to separate him from LeBron James. It just is. And I thought Chauncey Billups had a pretty good line the other day. I don't know if you saw what Chauncey said. I saw his tweet where he said, Michael Jordan, when he played, like, nobody got rings on his watch.
Right.
Okay, and he took off 2 years, or he probably, like, yeah, I said, would have had eight straight.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, Chauncey said, a lot of guys got rings on LeBron's watch. And if you think about it, that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What would you say? Let's do the generation. I love this thing. How would LeBron fare? What would be any, or would it be any different if he played in the 80s and your era, 90s?
Yeah, I think. Look. You always talk about, it's always so tough to compare eras, and some guys transcend that. It's always hard for me to talk about guys that played back in the 60s, yeah. and I don't know. I'm like,
no,
you
know, I'm
you bring up a guy like Bob Cousy, yeah, right? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm picturing Bob Cousy having to guard Russell Westbrook. I don't know how that would go.
Exactly.
So, you know what I mean? So I think, even Bob Cousy guarding a guy like De'Aaron Fox, like, I don't know what that would look like.
Right.
So But that's the old timers. Now, but these guys, it's a little different because I played against Michael in my era, and I've covered LeBron in this era. Here's what I would say. LeBron James is so physical, and at, you know, his body dimensions are so unique. He's basically the exact same size as Karl Malone, but he plays point guard. So I think he's going to succeed in any era, obviously at a really high level, because he can physically play through the contact. But there is absolutely no debate whether it's easier to operate today as a physical player and a guy that wants to attack the rim as opposed to when I played and when Michael played the 90s. There's no comparison. You know, how many times have you ever seen LeBron James laid out?
Right.
I mean, think about it now. And people might think, well, he's 6'8", 260. How do you lay him out? No, I'm sorry. When I played, every team had two guys on the court bigger than that.
Right.
And some of those guys in the Eastern Conference, when you talk about the Knicks front line, when you talk about the Pacers front line, when you talk about the Pistons, obviously Chicago, when you talk about Miami, when you talk about those teams, the guys were getting laid out, and all you really got for that was two free throws. You realigned your spine, you checked your fillings, you put cotton in your nostrils to stop the bleeding, and you shot your two free throws because they weren't running over to the table to check replay. So nobody knew what was that. I mean, think about it. Kurt Rambis, when Kurt Rambis got clotheslined by Kevin McHale, that was just two free throws. I mean, that was a felonious assault committed on the court, and Kurt Rambis shot two free throws for that. So, and that was the 80s. Now, the 90s, again, same thing, the physicality of it. So you can't tell me that there's not a difference. There's an enormous difference in terms of your ability to play in traffic, play without contact, your ability to get to the rim. Michael was laid out most of the first 6, 7, 8 years of his career. He was on his back 5, 6 times a game, and he kept coming at you regardless. LeBron never really dealt with that. So for me, look, he'd be very successful. Would he be as prolific? I don't think as prolific with defenses that could load up on the paint and hit you the way that they could in the era that Michael Jordan played, which is why I say if you put Michael on the court today, Anthony, how do you think you are possibly going to contend with Michael Jordan when you can't touch anybody on the perimeter? And teams don't have, for the most part, legitimate shot blocking on the court because everybody's playing small. So you got Jordan at 26 feet. You're guarding him. You can't touch him. He's the quickest guy on the floor. He's 6'6". He's going to take off outside the lane and take off, try to get to the rim. And your weak side help is a 6'9 stretch 5. That's who's coming to help you. Not Dale Davis, not Alonzo Mourning, not Oakley, not Anthony Mason, this is what I'm talking about. Like picturing Michael Jordan playing by today's rules and the way the game is formatted with him having 3 3-point shooters on the floor, no shot blocking on the other end, and you can't touch him, he could put up whatever numbers he wanted to.
Yeah, and I was having this debate yesterday with a buddy of mine, and I brought that up because he said, "Wow, today they're much better 3-point shooters, and Jordan was a mid-range guy." And there's no doubt in my mind that if he's playing today, he becomes a great 3-point shooter.
Well, there's no question about that. But my point, first of all, you're 100% right. The other thing is, I was talking more about the spacing he would enjoy because of who they would put on the floor with him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Imagine the gaps that now, okay, you got this guy that you can't touch. To initially, you can't really touch him to slow him down at all. And the gaps that he has are so much greater than what he had when he played with. And as far as the 3-point shooting, see, my argument would be this. You say, well, the 3-point shooting is so much better today. It's not really, to me, necessarily the case. I think what's happened is there are so many more taken that your ability to have a rhythm from there is so much different than when I played. When I played, you had 2 or 3 guys on your roster that were going to get the green light. And by green light, Anthony, I mean, by the way, take a guy like myself, for instance.
Right.
I led the league in 3-point shooting, and I can't conceive of the ball being advanced to me on a 3-on-1, and I stop and take a 3.
Yeah.
When I was playing, right? That just was not a shot that was considered acceptable by any standard. So look, go look at the numbers. There were nights teams I played on, they're shooting 15 threes. I was taking half of them. Like, now teams are taking 30 on a slow night. Some teams take 40, 45 on a given night. So I don't know that the three-point shooting is better. I just think more guys are allowed to do it, which means, and then the real shooters get much more chance to get into a rhythm because they can take 6, 8, 10 a night if they want to. So, but percentage-wise, when you look at the guys that could really do it when I played, I think the percentages were better. When you take a look at the best shooters on those teams, those guys shot it at a higher percentage because the shots they took were typically better shots than what you get now. Now, there's no doubt that it's a three-point league and that Michael Jordan would exponentially benefit from that even if he wasn't taking them because of how the floor is spaced out and the fact that defensively the team he's going against probably has a guy that is not a legitimate rim defender that's on the court as the last line of defense because of his ability to shoot threes on the other end.
It's incredible. It's a great way to break it down. Absolutely great way to break it down. Quick things, couple quick things. One, your best five of the guys you saw. So guys you saw, give me your best five all time.
That I saw, you mean that I played against?
So you could even have guys before you, maybe Magic, you know, guys that you saw. I know you watch Magic. So
well,
guys,
yeah,
that
okay.
You saw.
So I got to go. I can give you three that to me are for me personally not debatable: Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and LeBron.
Yes.
And look, the LeBron one, that was a tough pill for me to swallow because that spot had gone to Larry Bird, who's my favorite player of all time. But it's undeniable. You can't. And even Larry Bird would give that up. I mean, Larry Bird did win three MVPs and three titles. Three MVPs in a row and three titles. And LeBron's got three, you know, and LeBron's got four MVPs. They're, to me, it's not debatable between those two players. And Bird, and some people might have said, hey, they wouldn't even have gone with Bird in their top five. He was for me because of the all-around skill and competitiveness and toughness and how clutch he was. But there's no question to me LeBron has surpassed him. So those three for sure. If I had to put a center...
No Kobe?
Well, see, I'm thinking of how I would put... I guess the way the league looks now, you could go Magic, Kobe, Michael, right?
Right,
LeBron. And then one big. Like,
yes.
But let me ask you a question. This is where I think the debate, to me, gets most interesting. When you start talking about if you want to have one big guy on the court, who is it? I think that's the best debate of all because I think I have no problem with Kobe being in there. I really don't. And I think most of the players I just mentioned, people are going to agree with that. You know, some people might say, oh, let's put Oscar Robertson in there or something like that. But for the most part, the guys we just mentioned, when you get to the center spot, that to me is when it gets really interesting because to me, Kareem would probably be the guy. But was there a more all-around skilled big than Hakeem?
Yeah.
Like, so if you're going to play one game, and you pick your five, I pick my five, I mean, I'm okay with Hakeem Olajuwon playing against Kareem.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that's where, but when I look at the resume.
Well, what about Shaq?
No, I wouldn't go with Shaq.
As big and, like, unguardable down low he is?
I would put it this way. I think Hakeem Olajuwon in his prime and Kareem in his prime would have a much better time guarding Shaq than he would either of those two guys.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's just because Kareem had an unstoppable shot and he was a force defensively and Hakeem was the best defensive center in the NBA when I played and I've never seen a guy his size with the kind of all-around skill set that he had, like, for a center. Now, it's funny I say that because Kevin Durant's the same height. I mean, he plays two guard, basically. But I'm talking about for a big guy. I mean, to be able to step out, shoot it, the post work, the footwork, you know, jump hooks. I mean, he could score on you in any way imaginable. And he embarrassed, actually, other great centers when he played against them. So I think that's a great one. And obviously, you're going to run into people that are going to say Wilt Chamberlain, like, no matter what, gets that spot. And that's one of those ones. I go, you know what? I never really saw Wilt Chamberlain play.
Exactly. Yeah, same thing. Same thing with me. We had a Pippen D Wade debate. I was on the D Wade side.
I would go D Wade too.
Yeah.
I would go D Wade too. I will say this about Scottie Pippen. I think Scottie Pippen, for me personally, of anybody that I either again played against or covered. So I won't even go back to when I was watching the league before I got to the league. I'm just talking about from getting into the league in 1990 to now, 30 years. I think Scottie Pippen is the best team defensive player I've ever seen.
Wow, that's incredible.
His ability to guard anybody on the floor, but then also and I just know this from personal experience playing against those guys, his help and recover defense was as good and covered as much ground as any player in NBA history, probably more so. I think Kevin Garnett would be kind of in that discussion because there's never been a guy his size that defended pick and roll the way Kevin Garnett does, and it's a pick and roll league. Like it's a tutorial on how to play pick and roll defense because of his want to. That's what it comes down to. If you want to be a great pick and roll defender as a big, you got to want to do it, and you got to expend constant energy. And that was KG. But for me, Scottie Pippen, the best, because he could guard all five spots, and he was also helping you guard everybody on the floor, all of his teammates. So I will say that about Scottie. But I just think the all-around offensive game, it's a significant advantage for Dwayne Wade.
I gotta tell you, I could do this all day long, man. This is so much fun.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Anthony. I'm as excited as anybody, man. I lived that era. I played against that team. This is going to be incredible. The memories that are going to come flooding back for me as a guy that competed against those teams when I watched this documentary. I'm fascinated with it. I think Michael Jordan is the most electrifying player that's ever lived. He was must-see TV. I remember vividly during that time, if you weren't playing as an NBA player, you were watching Michael because it was the most electric thing I had ever seen in sports, was watching him play. And when he got the ball, and just the anticipation of the big game and what he was going to do tonight. There's been a handful of guys that you can, you know, put in that discussion. And I actually made this statement. I wonder if you agree with this. I personally think Steph Curry, in his back-to-back MVP years, probably even the first of those 2 years, Steph Curry, to me, got to the point where he was the next best thing as far as must-see TV since Jordan.
Yes.
Because you've never seen anything like it.
No.
And you couldn't wait to sit down and watch them play because you knew you were going to see something ridiculous that night. And so I think Curry, and there's a lot of guys in between there that were great, obviously, and you loved watching. But I'm talking about just that sheer, like, man, I gotta watch them if they're on tonight. I didn't really have that feeling, other than like when Jordan played till I got to Curry.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. Like, there were times when, like, Kobe, Shaq, I was enamored. I do have something about the big guy and just the force of it. But you're right, really, when it comes down to something you never see. Is Curry shooting it from just all over space? I mean,
yeah, like I remember vividly. Ridiculous. You remember the game he went? They were playing Oklahoma City, regular season game in Oklahoma City. It was probably late February, several years ago, when he shot the pull up 40-footer out of the backcourt to win the game. Like,
yes,
right.
Yes.
I was so that day. My daughter played in the conference championship game at Cabrini. She was playing at Newman. To go to the NCAAs. They played Cabrini that afternoon and unfortunately lost. But then I went with a buddy and my wife went downtown to a sports bar, Center City, to watch that game. And I will never forget watching that game in there because I was looking around. There were people in there you could tell that really didn't watch the NBA. And they were glued to that almost like you were watching, like, you know, like a presidential address in time of like a war. That's how locked in people were to the television set. And I will never forget the reaction in that sports bar when he just rose up. And that wasn't like a prayer. He knew what he was doing. Yeah. He was measuring his steps, and he stopped at a point where he knew no defender would contemplate he was going to pull up from, because he had another 2 or 3 seconds. And he shot a 40-foot pull-up jumper to win the game. And, like, I'll never forget the electricity and the way people were freaking out inside. And these are people that weren't Warriors fans necessarily. Right. Some didn't even know the NBA. But they knew they just saw something they'd never seen before.
Yeah. No, I remember that game distinctly, and you're right. Especially a guy like you who's a shooter, to be able to have that kind of rhythm shot, like, that's an amazing skill to watch guys rain from that deep. Oh, man, that's cool. You gotta do me a favor. You have to be our critic for the series.
Yeah, I'd love to. Sure.
All right, so every week we'll check in, and you have to go over the episodes, okay?
No doubt, I'd love to, yeah. You know, I'll just see every second of them, so I'll probably multiple times between Sundays, so yeah.
All right, great. That'll be perfect. All right, brother, listen, be safe. I'll see you over at the beer a little bit later on.
You got it. See you, man.
See you, buddy. Later. There he is, the great Tim Legler, Legs on the Comcast Business Hotline. We'll come back, squeeze in some calls. Hope you enjoyed the conversation today. A lot of great basketball conversation. We enjoyed this. Hey, would you like a greener weed-free lawn that is also safe for your family and pets? It's why I chose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. Natural Lawn uses safer organic-based products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. This creates a safer lawn for you, your family, your pets to enjoy. And with Natural Lawn, you're not going to scarify beauty for safety. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all service. Customized treatments for your lawn-specific need. Wet, dry, sunny, shady. Whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawns programs will deliver that lush green lawn you've always wanted. And right now, they got a special deal for our listeners. Schedule Natural Lawns full-service program. Receive free seeding every year. That's free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn today. Let them know Cuz hooked you up. Call 800-FREE-SEED. 800-FREE-SEED. Choose Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.